So why do we celebrate Lag BaOmer? So let's just go back a step. So Lag BaOmer is really, there's no word Lag. Lag is an initial. Really, it's the date of Lag BaOmer on the English calendar this year is April 30th, but on the Hebrew calendar, it's the 18th day of the month of Iyar. The reason why it's called Lag BaOmer, because in Hebrew, Lamed is 30. The numerical value of the letter Lamed is 30. And the numerical value of the letter Gimel is 3. So it's always the 33rd day of the Omer. That's Lag BaOmer. But why is it any different than the 32nd day of the Omer, the 34th day? It's not considered a minor holiday, the 32nd, 34th. So what happened, if anything, on Lag BaOmer? So as we mentioned, we've been counting the days between Passover and Shavuos. Those are the days in between the Exodus from Egypt and when the Jewish people received the Torah on Mount Sinai. So these are the days where, you know, we're looking forward to the acceptance of the Torah, which is the Yontov of Shavuos, which is coming up this year. It's going to be start Sunday night, May 16th. So like all the Jewish holidays this year on the secular calendar, it comes out on the it's the weekend before Victoria Day. So Monday is Shavuos. The following Monday is Victoria Day. In Canada, I guess it's known as the kickoff to summer, as opposed to the States, which Memorial Day, which is the 31st, that's the kickoff to summer. So I guess we have three special Mondays in a row. Shavuos, Victoria Day, and Memorial Day. Yeah, so either way, so what happened during the day? So the Talmud tells us, the Talmud doesn't mention Lag BaOmer by name, but it says, even though on a biblical level, these are happy days, we're counting to when we became free until we accepted the Torah at Mount Sinai. So what happened later on in Jewish history, apparently some sad things, some tragic events happened. That's why we have a semi-mourning period. Like people don't take haircuts, you don't have weddings, that type of thing during this time. Why? Because, so the Talmud tells us, in between the days of Passover and Shavuos, 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva perished. Rabbi Akiva, one of the great rabbis in the Talmud. Imagine, you had a question?
No.
Yeah, imagine, so McMaster has about 25,000 students. Imagine one day they just disappear. You know, I mean, I guess we have the closest thing to that is we have COVID now, where it always seems to be empty there now that no one's there. But what happened was 24,000 students died in between Pesach and Shavuos. And again, so it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara what happened on Lag BaOmer. So in the later commentaries, they say we have a tradition that they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. When it hit the, in other words, let's assume on Lag BaOmer they took a break. So, you know, maybe they continued on the 34th or maybe they stopped completely. But on the 33rd day of the Omer, Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Akiva's students stopped dying. So we...
Hey, just a moment. Yeah. Why were they dying?
Excellent question. So why were they dying? So the Gemara tells us, so the Talmud tells us, it's very vague and ambiguous, but it says, Shelo nagu kavod ze el ze. They didn't treat each other properly. The students did not treat one another in the appropriate way. They weren't, in other words, I'm not saying they went ahead and they, kicked them, punched them, and that type of thing, or they spoke evil gossip, but whatever the level was, somehow on their level, they didn't fulfill Interesting, because Rabbi Akiva is the rabbi who said, well, he didn't say it, the Torah says it, but he's the one who made it his guiding principle, V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha, love your neighbor like yourself. So it's interesting to note that his own students were guilty of not doing it. So some want to make a historical suggestion, perhaps that's when it became his guiding principle, when he saw what happened to his 24,000 students. Historically, we don't know for sure, but that's just an interesting suggestion. That's when he started focusing on it more, when he realized what happened. There are other explanations also, but the Gemara says, it's one place it says they died, that there was some like disease going around. I don't know if it was an infectious, it's some stomach disease, but probably the most likely event was this, what I'm about to share with you, is historically speaking, during this time period, they had what they had the Bar Kokhba revolt. That basically during the time of Rabbi Akiva, that there was this guy, Bar Kokhba, he was known as, and even Rabbi Akiva at one point thought he was going to be the Messiah. He was going to be the Messiah and build the next temple. And in the beginning, he was very successful. Until it reached a point, even Rabbi Akiva at the end realized, because Bar Kokhba made some statement along the lines of saying, God, you don't have to help me, just don't get in my way. So when Rabbi Akiva heard him say that, he said, that's not the way the Messiah talks, I'm out of here. But either way, but what happened was, many leaders thought Bar Kokhba, that's also historical debate whether it was only Rabbi Akiva who thought he was the Messiah, or all the rabbis agreed. So that's a further debate. But whatever be as it may, Rabbi Akiva himself thought they thought they were getting ready to rebuild the third temple. So, and then that's when the Romans didn't like it, and the Romans attacked. So interesting, after the Romans destroyed the temple, the Jews didn't have, I mean, obviously you lost the temple, it was bad, but there was no like special decrees that Jews can't go to shul, they can't learn Torah, they can't keep the mitzvahs, they can do circumcision. There was no like special rules. Like they just, they just wasn't. But after the Bar Kokhba, when they revolt, after they went ahead and they put down, that's when they made the worst rules about anyone caught learning Torah would kill them. So it was a terrible time there. So historically speaking, what makes the most sense is these were probably Rabbi Akiva's students who were fighting in the war against the Romans. So how could you have 24? It must have been they were in the fighting in the war, and that's how they were killed. So that's historically, that makes the most sense, that they were, because just to have 24,000 drop dead, out of nowhere, or did it happen over 1 year, many years? That's all part of the discussion. But whatever actually happened, what happened on Lag BaOmer is they stopped dying. So where do we see that the fact that they stopped dying, that's enough of a reason, at least to what we'll call a relief rally. I wouldn't call it a good thing, but people stopped dying. So how do we know at least it's a little consolation? Because we have another holiday, also not well known. It happens in the summer. As I have my calendar in front of me, it's actually going to come out on Shabbos this year. It's called Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av is like it happened in the summer. It's a day where people got together to shed up. Matchmakers got together, setting up people. But a lot of things happened. So one of the things that happened, so the Talmud asks, what happened on this day? Why is Tu B'Av a happy day? So there are many reasons, but I'll just focus on the one reason that applies to us here. You know what the Gemara says? You know what happened? Because it's a week after Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the saddest day on the Jewish calendar. This year it's going to be on Sunday. We're going to observe Tisha B'Av on a Sunday this year. That's when the ninth of Av falls out. So you go from Shabbos right into Tisha B'Av. And then the next Shabbos, a happy Shabbos. So what happened was, is when the Jews were traveling in the desert because they sinned, the sin of the spies. So they, whatever God said, that anyone who was traveling in Israel, now they're going to get punished and not going to be entered, they won't be able to enter the land of Israel. So people throughout the 40 years were dying. So you had, let's assume you had 600,000 people, whatever it was. So whatever, 15,000 a year, whatever the math comes out to, whatever it is, over 40 years, the people were dying out. So the Medrash gives a very graphic description of what happened. The graphic description is that every year on the ninth day of Av, that no one knew who was going to live or who was going to die. So they dug graves. They all slept in the grave that night. And those who got up, got up. Those who didn't get up, they finished the burial. So that went on for like 39 years in the desert. Every year on Tisha B'Av, that was the practice. Until the last year, the 40th year, whoever was left, they all went to sleep. They all went to sleep in the grave. And what happened? Everyone woke up. Everyone walked out. So they were wondering, what's going on here? We must have miscounted. We must have, it was before calendars. They just figured it out by the moon. So they did this again. They did this again for another week. Every day, they all got up. They figured, oh, we're getting the days wrong. And then all of a sudden, they see the moon's out, which means it's like the 15th day of the month. So they realized that, well, God in his mercy, he's going to let everyone live. So therefore, when did they realize that? On the 15th day of the month, which is Tu B'Av. So on Tu B'Av, which is the day they recognize that God's having mercy, that there's no more death, so they made it into a quasi-holiday. So we see from Tu B'Av that when people stop dying, it's a good thing, meaning that they stopped dying. That they were dying wasn't good, but they stopped. So too, Lag BaOmer, the 24,000 students stopped dying, and therefore we have like a relief rally. We see it's a bit of a consolation, and therefore, we take off in the morning and have a minor, not a major celebration, but a minor one. We'll get to Israel in a minute. So that's one school of thought. The question is, like, what do you mean? The fact that everyone's dying? Maybe everyone died already. Like, what kind of simcha is that? Like, the Nazis killed all the Jews, and now there's no more Jews left, so they stop. So what does that mean? So it means to say that it stopped. They could have went more, but as Rabbi Akiva left over, he had five special students who were left over, and from the Rabbi Akiva's five students, that kept Judaism going. If they would have killed all of the big rabbis, there'd be no one left to teach the tradition. So what happened was these five great students were left over. One of them we'll get to in a minute, and therefore that's why it wasn't the fact that. They stopped dying per se, which is a good thing, but Rabbi Akiva was still resilient. Imagine after losing 24,000 students and still have the courage to go out and starting over again. You know, like people after the Holocaust, they lost everything and now they had to go back. And we have so many people we know directly or indirectly who came here with nothing and they built themselves tremendous lives. So, well, like when Noah came out of that, imagine the feeling of like hopelessness. Noah came out, the whole world's destroyed. You came back after the Nazi Germany. So imagine you lose everything, but to have the resilience to be able to keep on going, that takes a lot of work, and that's what we're celebrating. Others point out another reason. As I said, one of his great students was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And I'll explain, you might have heard the name. And in fact, this coming tonight, it's tomorrow night already. In Israel, tomorrow night, meaning Thursday night, is the day begins at night. So Lag BaOmer starts tomorrow night. So Meiron is up north. Hundreds of thousands of Israelis, of Jews, go up. I mean, last I heard, it was like a quarter of a million. In Israel, to have 250,000 people in one spot's a lot of people, because it's only a population of like 8 million total. So yeah. So where's that? What's everyone going to Meiron? What's this big exodus to Meiron? Meron up north. Why is everyone going there? So that's the burial spot of one of Rabbi Akiva's five students who were left over, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. What's so special about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that everyone's coming to visit his burial place? So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, usually a yahrzeit isn't necessarily a happy time. You know, there's a discussion whether fast or feast. Do you fast on a yahrzeit? Do you make like a tikkun and you make a little kiddush? Whatever, different opinions. But we don't go around making we don't have wedding celebrate. Even on the great Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar, the seventh day of Adar, which is Chevra Kadisha Day. So many communities have a custom, they fast during the day, and then they have a big meal afterwards. So even by Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not making a tremendous wedding ceremony. So why, by the death of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, do we find this tremendous like wedding type? In fact, he told them to. Tradition has it that he told his students, "I'm going to die today, but I want you to make this a big. I want this day to be a big party for everyone." Why? Because what happened on this day? He revealed the book, the Zohar, as it's known, which means light, but it's the book of the mysticism is based on this book, that the, you know, the hidden secrets, Kabbalah, the real Kabbalah. I don't mean the Hollywood stars who claim to have Kabbalah. I'm talking about the real Kabbalah, you know, the Jewish secret. So he revealed the hidden secrets on that day, things that were never revealed before. That's why it's a day of celebration, because he's the one who revealed Kabbalah to the Jewish people. And that's why everyone likes to think they're spiritual, mystical. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the average person on the street, they just love Rav Shimon. I mean, if they knew his life, you know, who knows? You know, it's like always, you know, like if they were living during his time, maybe they wouldn't like him so much. But now, years later, he took on. For some reason, you know, different people have mazel, others don't. But some, it's taken off in the last 10, 20 years. But this whole going to Meiron and celebrating, in fact, people do is, it's crazy. People bring animals and they slaughter them. They save their child, to the three-year-olds, to take haircuts there. People do a lot of things in Meiron. And it gets so dangerous out there because it's such a little spot and you know, so many people going. So what happened was he revealed the source. He's the source of the mysticism he taught. And that's why it's a day of celebration. Because we don't, you know, really in the world of Nigla, the revere world, we don't celebrate the death of someone. That's not what we do. Even if we love the person and they accomplished a lot, we don't celebrate our parents' funeral. You know, we might feel mixed emotions. We feel the appreciation, everything they did. But it's not like we're not going to go out and have a party. You know, you go in, you know, it's very subdued and all that at best. You know, but here, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, "I want you to make a big party." He uses the word of a wedding because I'm revealing the secrets of the Torah. And this is like one of the happiest days of the year. In fact, we find interesting that Lag BaOmer falls out on Friday this year. So there's one other holiday that always falls out on the same day of the week as Lag BaOmer. No matter what. So I don't know if you remember, but the holiday of Purim this year fell out on a Friday. Purim and Lag BaOmer always fall out on the same day of the week. So the question is, and then what's the link between the two? It's not coincidental. If there's a link, if they're saying they always fall out on the same day, so we have to find some type of link. So there are different schools of thought on the connection between Purim and Lag BaOmer. So one school of thought is follows. What happened originally on Lag? See, Lag BaOmer, that's what it's called now, the 33rd day of the Omer. But what happened on the 18th day of Iyar, which is Lag BaOmer? You know what happened a long time ago? It wasn't a good thing that stopped. According to one opinion, this is the day when the Mabul, the flood, started with Noach, the May Noach. We have a tradition according to different, you know, different opinions, but according to one opinion, the flood began today, on this Hebrew date. So it was an inauspicious time. But later on in Jewish history, something good happened. You know what also happened on this day? The manna from heaven started falling. So originally it was a very sad, you know, tragic day. The Mabul that destroyed the world. So it's a sad day. But it went from a sad day to a happy day. The Jewish people only survived because of the manna. So too Purim. Purim started off as a very sad day. Why? Haman said, I'm going to kill all the Jews, men, women, and children. And he picked a day when he was going to do it. So it's going to be a very sad day. But what happened was we got the reversal. We killed Haman. We survived. So that's the link between Lag BaOmer and Purim. Both days had an inauspicious beginning, but ended off on a high note. That's one connection between Purim and Lag BaOmer. However, in fact, interesting, there's an old custom. People used to shoot bow and arrow on Lag BaOmer. I haven't seen it, but that's what they bring down in the history books. So what's that based on? Because the Hebrew word for bow and arrow is keshet, which also means in Hebrew a rainbow. So when do we find the rainbow appearing on the scene in the Bible? Right after the mob. After God said, I'm not going to bring a flood on the world again anymore. I'm not going to wipe out so we play bow and arrow, which is the same Hebrew word as rainbow, to remind us that originally the Mabul happened on this day, but we were able to change it from a day of tragedy to a day of salvation. And that's one connection. And the second connection is along the lines we were saying before, that what's unique about Purim, that Purim is the only book in the 24 books that doesn't really mention God's name. The whole miracle of Purim is like God is behind the scenes. God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther. So we see he's hidden. So too, what happened on Lag BaOmer, as we just pointed out, the hidden Torah was revealed. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai revealed Kabbalah on Lag BaOmer. And in fact, interesting, that's another reason why they say they used to play bow and arrow on Lag BaOmer, because a keshet, a rainbow, is hidden in the sky. You have to go look. Oh, well, is there a rainbow there? So too, the hidden secrets of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he revealed the secrets. In fact, they point out something interesting. That how many days are there between Pesach and Shavuos? There are 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos. How many days are there between Purim and Lag BaOmer? 64 days. So what's the significance of 64 days for Purim and Lag BaOmer and 49 days Pesach and Shavuos? So if you take the number 49 and you get it and you take it down, it's really groups of seven. It's the root 7 times 7 is 49. So 49 represents the number 7. And 64, 8 times 8, that represents the number of 8. So what's the significance of the number 7 in Judaism? And what's the significance of the number 8? So number 7 is generally used as something through the regular natural means. That 7 days of the week, 7 year Shemitah cycle, it's a normal way, like we function, we breathe, we walk. It's a normal everyday life. That's revealed to us through the normal ways of, you know, we have to take care, we have to eat, we have to exercise, we got to take care of ourselves, whatever, you know, the general ways of life. So seven, so that's Pesach to Shavuos. That God, that what was revealed on Shavuos, the open, the Torah, the way, the Torah we have to live on, that's for the, everyone, every day, all the time. That's, so that's the number seven. But on Lag BaOmer, what was revealed, the Kabbalah, mysticism, the hidden secret. So eight is always a number above the laws of nature. If seven represents nature, the number eight represents above the laws, like Hanukkah. We broke the laws of nature. We had the miracle of the oil. That's why it's 8 days. We have a Jew circumcised on day eight, that the Jewish people are above the laws of nature. If you go by the laws of nature, the Jews would have been wiped out years ago. It's only because of that God's watching over us, we're still here. And that's what the number eight is, and that's the mysticism. So Lag BaOmer represents the hidden secrets of the Torah. And that's why it's 64 days and the number of eight. So to summarize, why are we celebrating? What happened on Lag BaOmer? So we discussed originally the death of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, and they, through the Bar Kokhba revolt, the Romans, they died out and they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. Like when the Jews stopped dying the last year in the desert, we see they had two bar, they made it a happy day, so too Lag BaOmer. Others point out, we're not really celebrating only that they stopped dying, but the five students took over. And they were able, this when you thought it was all over, the power of resilience. Imagine how hard it was after you lose 24,000 to go back and start again, come back after the Holocaust. We can't even imagine how difficult that might have been, but Rabbi Akiva had the resilience, and therefore, because of that, he was able to continue the it was the continuity of the Jewish people. And the other school of thought has to do with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who was a student of Rabbi Akiva. He revealed the Zohar Kabbalah on this day, and therefore he said, even though normally we don't make big parties on days of death, but this is not the norm. This is mysticism. This is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai making a request. I want you to make a big wedding ceremony on this day because I'm revealing the secrets of the Torah, the joys of the Torah. And therefore we pointed out, so that's why it's a happy day. And that's what we pointed out, the link to Purim. Just like Purim started off at inauspicious time, Haman wanted to kill us, and then we were saved. So too, Lag BaOmer began as the day of the flood, the Mabul. It ended off with the Mun, with God sustaining us in heaven. That's why the bow and arrow, Keshet, to remind us about the flood on with the rainbow. And the other school of thought is, no, that it's Purim's name isn't, God's name isn't mentioned in Megillas Esther. So too, Lag BaOmer is also hidden. The hidden mysteries of the Torah, Kabbalah, and that was revealed on Lag BaOmer, and hence we have a series of seven when it comes from Pesach to Shavuos, because that's nature, the normal way. But from Purim to Lag BaOmer is the hidden secrets, and that's why the number eight, and that's why hundreds of thousands of quarter of a million Jews in Israel will be heading to Meiron to celebrate this great festive day of Lag BaOmer, visiting the gravesite of the great Rav Shimon Bar Yochai.